In the 22nd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I want to start to read in the 23rd verse and read through the rest of the chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravaging the prey, and have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my laws and profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Their princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, raiding the prey to shed blood, and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have dug wounds with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divine lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. People of the land use oppression and exercise robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Verse 30 is not anything new. It's been taught and preached here many times. But I thought, as I was looking through some things, this come to me, and I couldn't get away from it. I kept going back, as I said, to my other thoughts, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do that so bad. But this is what kept coming back to me. Verse 30 says, I sought a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Today, the churches of God need that kind of people. Today, the churches, not the world's churches, but God's church, they need that kind of people. And what I want to do, not for any raising of your hands or anything like that, but maybe a couple of questions to ponder upon, maybe a couple of questions to think about, and that is, are we standing in the gap, and are we making up that hedge? And as we get through here, if you see me walking back and forth, it's not as much that I'm nervous, it's a habit that I have. I can't stand still. But are we standing in the gap? Are we making up that hedge? Two questions that we can think about. Two things, as I said, in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Are we standing in our place? Everyone has a place. Everyone has a gap to fill. Everyone's gap is not the same. Everyone's place is not the same. In the body, it tells us that each member has a particular place. And without that member in that place, they cannot function properly. But are we standing in the gap? Are we taking our place? Are we filling the void that is left when a church member leaves? Are we filling the void? More now than ever, we as Northside Baptist Church are seeking a pastor. More now than ever, I feel that we need to stand in that gap. We need to make up that hedge. It's easy to compromise. it's easy to say, well, let somebody else do it. It's always been easier to compromise than it was to stand. It's easier to tear something down than it is to put it back. It's always been that way. But do we stand in the gap against oppression? Many people, many examples in the Bible we can see that stood in the gap. I didn't have any of these written down come to my mind. You look at the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, it would have been easy for them to have bowed down when the music started to play. It would have been easier for them to have went along with everyone else. But they refused to do that. They said, I'm not going to do that. They said that if God delivers us, then He will deliver us. But if God doesn't deliver us, then be it known unto you that we're not going to bow down to you. Either way it went, they had won. If you look at it, either way it went, they were going to win. If God delivered them, they won. If God didn't deliver them, then He was a witness against them. Either way, they had the victory in that battle. And that was part of the thing that I was talking about, taught in the Sunday school, or during the Vacation Bible School, turning adversity into victory. Either way it went, they had won, and the king had lost. But we see standing in the gap against oppression, standing in the gap against this world, and it's not an easy thing to do. We may suffer persecution, we may suffer a lot of things, but standing in the gap is important. Making up that hedge, being someone the Lord can depend on, being someone the Lord can trust, being someone not only that the Lord can trust, but the church can trust, someone they can look to, someone they can come to for advice, someone they can look to for some leadership. And as I said, in the time that Northside Baptist Church is in, that's important today, to have people in the church that are willing to make up that gap, that are willing to stand for the truth. When in a world of easy believism, in a world of doesn't really matter what you do, if it feels good, do it. In a world of we're all trying to get to heaven, we're just all using a different method, we're all using a different way. The Bible says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. But standing in the gap, in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, in verse 31, it tells us that what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What can we say to those that persecute us? What can we say to those that wish to do harm to us? We say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And what does that take? It doesn't take compromise. If you compromise, you can't say that. If we compromise anything, then we can't say, if God be for us, who can be against us? We would have to say that if the world will be for us. But if we compromise any one thing, then you're more likely on down the line to compromise in another area. It doesn't take but a little bit, to compromise. And it may be something that you don't even really think about a lot of times. And then again, it may be. But if we don't compromise, also, I think in the book of Psalms, in the 118th Psalm, and maybe as I do this more often, or maybe as I do this, the Lord helps me do it. I'm not doing anything, but the Lord helps me do this. The thoughts or whatever may be in a more organized manner. But when I sit down and these thoughts come to my mind, I try to put them in an order or in a fashion where we could kind of maybe look at these things. Verse 6 of the 118th Psalm says about the same thing that Romans chapter 8 and 31 says. It says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. With the Lord on our side, why not stand in the gap? With the Lord on our side, why not make up the hedge? He is beside of us every day. He is in. If you've been saved by the grace of God, He's inside of you every day. He helps you. He strengthens you. He gives you the courage to stand in the gap. For a long time, I didn't want to be up here. But this morning, He gave me the courage and the grace to be up here. And to tell the truth about all of it, I'm not really as nervous now as I was when I started. I'm not finished yet. But the Lord is on our side. Why not stand in the gap? The Lord will take our side. Why not take up the slack? Like I said, compromise is the easy way out. Compromising is the world's way out. When we stand for what we believe, then no matter what happens, you look at Paul, a lot of times he stood for what he believed. And what happened to him? He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. All for preaching the gospel. And that was all he did. He preached the gospel. But he preached things that they didn't want to hear. He preached things that convicted them. He preached things that disturbed them. And when somebody preaches something, I think whenever it hits them or it gets close to them, then it disturbs them. And like I've always heard when Brother Smith preached up here for years, it's going to do two things to you. It's either going to make you mad or it's going to make you rejoice. It's going to be no in-between ground. You can't get half mad. You can't get half happy. You're going to be either one or the other. But we need to stand in the gap. We need to take up the slack for each other. And what does that entail? What does that encompass? It's probably a large area that it entails. I think standing in the gap, mainly, first off, and the most important thing of standing in the gap is to stand for the truth. To stand in the gap is to stand for what you believe. If you believe what the Bible believes, no matter what the world believes, the world's going to have its own belief. No matter what the world believes, if you're standing in the truth, then it doesn't matter what the world believes. Let the world go the way they want. It doesn't make any difference because you have the Lord on your side, and that's what you want anyway. I'd rather have Him on my side than to have the whole world with me and to stand with me. But we do fear what the world says about us, if we want to be honest about it. I think honesty is the best thing to be. But if we were to be honest about it at any time, at points we do fear what the world says about us. Why? Pride, ego, whatever you want to call it. We don't want them to think any less of us. We want their praise. We want their approval, so to speak, I guess, on what we're doing. But we don't need their approval. We don't need the praise of the world. We don't need the accolades of this world. We don't need anything that the world has put upon us. Because it said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who should we serve? If we're going to stand in the gap, then who should we serve? The Bible tells us, I think in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, and in the 24th verse, It tells no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We can't ride the fence, so to speak. You're either going to be on one side of the fence or you're going to be on the other. And if you're standing in the gap, what side of the fence do you want to be on? You want to be on the Lord's side. If you're standing in the gap and you're making up that hedge, then you're on the Lord's side. But if you're straddling that gap, tonight would be a good night to get off the fence. Tonight would be a good night for those that think that serving the Lord is all right on Sunday, but when they go Monday through Friday and Saturday, it's all right to do anything else. But if we're straddling that fence, or anybody that's straddling that fence, tonight would be the good night to get off of it. Tonight would be the good night to get on the side of the Lord and make your life count and make your testimony count and stand in that gap and make up the hedge. But we need to serve God. We don't need to serve this world. We don't need, like I said, the praise of this world. We don't need the approval of anybody in this world. What we should have and what we should expect and what we should desire is to praise God. Our praise to God. And what we should, if we do that, then He's going to, in turn, He's going to respect us. He's going to listen to us when we pray. If we are dedicating ourselves to God, then we're going to be someone that we can call on God. We can talk to God and He'll answer us. He'll talk to us. But we see that if we expect to make up the hedge, if we expect to stand in the gap, then don't expect to ride the fence. Don't expect to be on one side or the other. Because you're doing yourself, I believe, more harm than good when you ride the fence. You're at a between. You're not really serving God, and you're not really serving the world. And that only brings about one point. I believe if a person is doing that, then they're not really happy. A person that's doing that is not really content. A person that's doing that is not really satisfied. But once you get off that fence and you get on the side of the Lord, then you're going to be content. You're going to be satisfied. But if we're going to stand in the gap also, we must be willing to confess Christ to this world. I believe if we're going to stand for the Word of God, if we're going to stand for the truth, then we should be willing to testify to the truth. We shouldn't be willing to say, well, I'm not really sure if that's what it says. Do you know what the church believes? Well, that's what the pastor believes. That's what so-and-so thinks. We must be willing to learn the truth. We must be willing to dedicate ourselves to the truth. But also, we must be willing to confess God to this world. If you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to stand in that gap, we need to have the Lord on our side. And to get the Lord on our side, we need to confess Him before men. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew also in chapter 10, we need to confess Him before men to get Him on our side. It says in verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess also before My Father which is in heaven. Verse 33 says also that whosoever deny Me before men, him also will I deny before My Father which is in heaven. So if you want God's blessings upon you, if you want God's favor upon you, if you want to be on the side of the Lord, then we need to confess ourselves and confess God before this world that's lost. And like I said, it's easy to compromise. It's easy to say, I don't want to do that. It's a whole lot easier because you can go along and you can get along if we don't do that. But the minute that we start to do that, then you get repercussions. You get this world starting to say, well, he's going overboard or he's doing all of that. But we need to confess him before men. Not only that, but at the end of life, when our life is over and we stand before God, can we say to him that we stood in the gap? Can we say to him, we made up the hedge? This is individual, but I also believe, without a doubt, a church is not made up of wood and stone and carpet and all of that. The church is made up of the people that go there. The church is made up of the individuals. And if you're within this church, a member of this church, then can we say, when we stand before God, I made up the hedge? Or can we, or do we have to say to him, I failed? Or do we have to say to him, sometime, or maybe, I thought I was? But when we stand before him, can we hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Will we hear him say that? I know that passage there relates to, and then he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you master over many. But can we hear him say that? Will we be able to hear him say that? To stand, what does it take to stand? I thought when I started that this would probably be the shortest one you've ever heard, the longest, and I'm trying not to make it the longest. But in the book of Ephesians, several verses, I don't know if I'll read them all, very familiar verses, especially verse 13. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The latter part of that verse says, after having done all to stand. The verses preceding or following that tells us what we need to do, what we need to have. We need to have all of these things. We need to have the armor of God. And that includes the breastplate. That includes having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And all of those things mean nothing without the next verse, praying always with all prayer. If you don't use prayer as another weapon, if we don't use prayer as that weapon also, all the other things are helpful, but it needs prayer to bind them together. It needs prayer to hold them and give us that grace. It needs prayer to give us that strength to stand in the gap. After doing all that you can do to stand, we need all these things in order to stand. Again, we say, have we stood in a gap? Have we made up the hedge? As I said when I started, more than ever, I feel that in the position that Northside Baptist Church is in right now, it's vulnerable to people coming in and trying to get a foothold in the church. It's because we have no leader, we have no pastor at this time, and that makes the church more vulnerable to attack. If we don't stand in the gap, if we don't know what the Bible says, if we don't know what it says about the truth, then we would let just anybody come in. We would let anybody at all that, as they said, I'll have to get the little certificate thing. They'll have anybody that holds a certificate or whatever, or that says that they've been called to preach. They'll let anybody come and preach. First thing the church needs to do, they need to question that person, that individual, extensively. They need to find out his beliefs before they let someone preach. I probably should have, maybe at first, given a little brief thing about myself. Everybody, I guess, pretty much knows who I am and what I do believe. I've got a few more things, but I do believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I do believe that the church has final authority on all matters. I do believe in the virgin birth of Christ. I do believe in the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I do not believe baptism as a part of salvation. I do believe baptism is a membership, as a door into the church. I do not believe grape juice is an element of the Lord's Supper. And many more things. When I've been here since shortly after I was 15, almost 16 years old. I've been here as a member. This is the only church I've ever been a member of. I've been here for almost 26 years. Sit under some of probably the greatest preaching that I've heard in a long time. Men that have come in here, I've learned many things from them. As one said, to preach what you know and leave the rest alone until you know what it is. And that's what my desire is. That's what my intent. If I'm not sure, I'd rather not preach something to be false than to tell you something that's true that I don't really know about. That's my goal and intent. But we as a church, especially in this time, need to stand in that gap. We need to make up that hedge. But in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, very familiar, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves." Beware. We need to stand in the gap and guard this pulpit. We need to stand in the gap and guard this church against heresy, against people that would come in and try to destroy it. It's hard to destroy a church from the outside. It's easier to destroy one from the inside. And that'll happen if we allow these things. If we don't stand in the gap, if we don't make up that hedge, if we don't do what we know to do, if we don't do all we can do, then we're not only failing the church, we're not only failing each other, but more important than that, we're failing the Lord if we don't do what we know to do. So, I guess in closing, I'd like to read one verse that I thought would be maybe appropriate for this. As I said, I'm not qualified, or I'm not going to stand and say that I think I preached the greatest message that y'all probably ever heard. What I will say is that I feel at this time a lot calmer than I did when I started. And I thank the Lord for that, because I couldn't have done it myself. I was a nervous wreck when I started. But in closing, something by standing in the gap, I think this is would go with this some. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, we read in verse 26, speaking about Moses. "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Who is on the Lord's side? Is the Lord on our side? Are we standing in the gap? Does the Lord fight for our battles? If God be for us, who can be against us?